playing so well. Great to see you. Welcome back to Grace, or welcome to Grace. And I hope if you have a student that they have had a great week, if they've started back to school or whatever form they may be going. Welcome to all of you who are tuning in. And turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. A couple of things. I've got a new book that I'm working on here through 1 Peter. We're going to take a journey through that great book. I don't quite know if I want to launch it next week or the following, but I'll let you know. I may do one more one-off message. I had so much feedback from last week with overcoming anxiety. I want to do today as a follow-up. So I want you to almost think of that as this is a part two. And then next week, I may do one more individual message like this before we launch into our new series. But I want you to know we'll do everything we can to keep you safe here. If you're out and about anywhere at all, welcome back to church. Come on back and regather. And you know, I'll say more about some things going on in the world, but as a people of God, we are essential. And I want you to know that we are praying for and with Dr. John MacArthur and his church. They call it the peaceful protest. We're blessed to be in a state where we have freedom to come together and gather and worship using all safety protocols. But I know that that particular Grace, the Grace Covenant or Grace Community, they are battling just to gather, just to meet. And so remember Dr. MacArthur and his church family in your prayers. Now, I want to show you something. I don't know if you're like me and if you like Bob Newhart or not, but I've always loved that guy. What a weird, quirky sense of humor. Came across this clip many years ago. Now, if you're hypersensitive, I'm going to just tell you right now, get over it, okay? Because it's probably going to make you mad. But I think there's a lot of truth in this video. I think it's certainly meant to be funny and lighthearted, so take it for what it is. But it sets the stage beautifully for this psalm. So it's a few minutes long, so we need to just watch through. If you've never seen it, you're in for a treat. So check this clip out.
Dr. Switzer?
Yes, come in. I'm just washing my hands.
I'm Catherine Bigman. Janet Carlisle referred me.
Oh, yes. Feel being buried alive in a box.
Yes. Yes, that's me. Should I lay down?
Oh, no. We don't do that anymore. Just have a seat. And let me tell you a bit about our billing. I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes. And then absolutely nothing after that. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Too good to be true, as a matter of fact.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that our session won't last the full 5 minutes. Now, we don't do any insurance billing, so you would either have to pay in cash or by check.
Wow, okay.
And I don't make change.
All right.
And go.
Go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic?
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny.
I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this, you know, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
It is.
Then stop it.
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No, we don't go there. Just stop.
So I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good go. Well, it's only been 3 minutes, so that will be $3.
Actually, I only have a five, so.
Well, I don't make change.
Then I guess I'll take the full 5 minutes.
Fine. All right. Well, what other problems would you like to address?
I'm bulimic. I stick my fingers down my throat.
Stop it! What are you, nut of some kind? Don't do that.
But I'm compelled to. My mom used to call me fatty.
No. No, we don't go there.
But I've been having this dream.
No, we don't go there either.
But my horoscope did say...
We definitely don't go there. Just stop it. What else?
Well, I have self-destructive relationships with men.
Stop it! You want to be with a man, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, then stop it. Don't be such a big baby.
I wash my hands a lot.
That's all right.
It is?
I wash my hands all the time. There's a lot of germs out there. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't worry about that one.
I'm afraid to drive.
Well, stop it! How are you going to get around? Get in the car and drive, you kook!
Stop it! You stop it! You stop it!
What's the problem, Catherine?
I don't like this. I don't like this therapy at all. You're just telling me to stop it.
And you don't like that?
No, I don't.
So you think we're moving too fast, is that it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, then let me give you 10 words that I think will clear everything up for you. You want to get a pad and a pencil for this one?
All right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here are the 10 words. Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box!
So, if you want to come to me for counseling, that may be all you get. First time I ever shared that clip, I had some buddies that liked it so much. We got a bunch of guys around the church to start, I don't know if you can zoom in, to start wearing these hats. In fact, I had an assistant in Florida, she liked it, so she got a sign made for her desk, and when people would come up with issues, she'd just turn it towards them. I know there are issues that we need to deal with, and there's a lot that you might not be able to deal with two words. However, much of what our world is facing right now, much of what our culture is going through right now in the moment, and particularly related to this virus, with race relation and other things, I hope you're listening to our midweek conversations. But when it comes particularly to the way we've handled things around us right now, as the church of the living Lord Jesus Christ, rather than fretting and worrying and walking by fear, we need to walk by faith and simply stop it and believe that God is who the Bible says He is. We, above all people, should be showing by our life and our action that we trust that God is in control. We'll say it, but sometimes our actions betray that we don't really believe it. Be anxious for nothing. That was the message last week. Be anxious for nothing. Be still. Or in the words of Mr. Newhart, stop it. Stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word. Listen to this beautiful song. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. That simply means, most scholars tell us it's a musical notation. It probably meant for higher voices. So for ladies or even young boys, but it would have been sung. And it was a reminder for the people of God that while the world around them was going crazy, they could stop, be still, and know who was in control. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. Selah is only found in a couple of books of the Bible. It's found 71 times in the Psalms. It appears 3 times at the end of the book of Habakkuk. Most scholars tell us it's a musical notation that means pause, rest. Think on these things. Pay attention. Normally in a piece, if you really want to build emphasis, you build, you rest, you build anticipation, and then you move. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts, that would be Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of all heaven's armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our strength, Selah. The covenant God, the God of all the angelic armies. Verse 8, come. Behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Notice, the psalmist has been speaking, but now the speaker changes. The command comes from the lips of our Lord himself when he says to us, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Then the psalmist cuts back in. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our strength. Selah. Father in heaven, what an incredible song. What an important reminder. The messages around us are so chaotic. They can be so confusing. In the midst of this pandemic where the world has changed, let us be wise as serpents, but also harmless as doves. In the midst of this political season where people will put their hopes and their future on the backs of donkeys and elephants, let us remember that hope came riding into the holy city on the back of a colt, the foal of a donkey. And that hope is not found in D.C., hope is found in the halls of heaven. And so let us rest in you, trust you. Yes, things happening around us are serious. Yes, there are people that are affected. Yes, people have died. They will. And we will be careful. And we will do all that we can to love one another well. But we will walk by faith. We will not let fear overcome us. We will not close the doors to the house of the Lord, but we are here. We are a gathered people. We are a called out assembly of the saints of God who say we are as essential as anything out there. And so we come today worshiping, praising, trusting, believing that you have something to say to each of us. And we lift this prayer in Jesus' name. The people of God said, amen. Be seated, please. So, 5 realities and 3 responses today. I know your outline looks crazy. You think we'll never finish, but they're very quick. Jump in with me. Number 1, God is our mighty fortress. God is our mighty fortress. 1, 7, and 11. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then repeated two times so that we will remember, the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, is with us. The God of Jacob. And why that name? Well, of course, Jacob wrestled with God and was renamed Israel. So when you're writing this as a Jewish song, you use Jacob as a reminder. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, renamed Israel. Has 12 sons, renamed, becoming the 12 tribes of Israel. So you're reminded God is a personal God, a God who knows us by name, a covenant God, and a mighty fortress. Where do I get that language? Well, Martin Luther was inspired to write that great hymn nearly 500 years ago. From about 1528, he penned, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." And he was inspired to write that based on this particular psalm. You see, while other nations around Israel boasted in their impregnable castles, perched high on their inaccessible cliffs, secured with iron gates and protected by fierce warriors, Israel, though often smaller and weaker, was actually safer than all. Because God was her refuge. God was her strength. Notice this, it's plural. God is our refuge. God is our strength. That's why the church should look different, particularly in these days. Refuge. That word means shelter, a place of covering. So when the rain comes, God not only protects, God provides. He is a refuge. It's like being at the Melton Lake that's behind our house. And we were out, I don't know, it's been maybe a month ago, I don't remember. But we were tubing, I think the kids might have been skiing. And you could see on the horizon the black clouds beginning to roll up, kind of like yesterday where the rains were coming and going kind of all day. But we noticed it, so we started heading back to the Edgemoor boat ramp, to the dock there. Any of you boaters out there, you know that's a two slip. It's wide enough for two fairly good-sized trailers and boats to get down. But as is often the case, people like to go in the dead center of those things. And so this dude got right down to the dead middle of that boat ramp where nobody else could reload, and it looks like the storms are about to dump on us. And so we pull up, and I'm just waiting. And it's hard to keep your witness in a moment like that. I'm just going to be honest with you. I wanted to share something with him, but it wasn't Jesus in the moment. And so this dude obviously didn't know how to load a boat. And so I'm looking around. I'm thinking, we're about to get dumped on. So I said, hold on, gang, and I hammered down, and we went to the bridge, the Edgemoor Bridge right there that crosses where Pellissippi is. And we just pulled up under, and I just turned around, and I just watched that guy for over 20 minutes trying to load his boat. He needed more than prayer. And finally, as the clouds are just continuing to billow, he pulls out. We're able to get over there. In about 3 minutes, we're gone. And then the sky falls. But I was so glad that we were close enough to that big covering, that big bridge, that big refuge. Storms are going to come. You're either in one right now, you're heading toward one, or you've left one recently. That's the way life is. People will say, well, I just can't wait for this to be over. Listen, whatever it is after Corona, whatever the name may be, there'll be something that'll be a storm. If we think that after November, whether it's Trump Pence or Biden Harris or whoever it is, we think everything's just going to go away and be okay. Listen, there's always a storm. How close are you to your place of refuge? How close are you to the Lord who protects you, the Lord who watches over you, the Lord who covers you? Because if you get too far away, the storm will catch you and it may just sink you. God is our refuge. The Bible also says in verse 1, God is our strength. Meaning that he not only is our shelter, but he also fights for us. So he's our shield and he's our sword. He is both for us. We have a strong shelter. We have a strong sword when the storm comes. God is our mighty fortress. Secondly, God is always with us, particularly in times of trouble. Look, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. The midst of what? The holy city. This is a reference for us of heaven. It would have been even for them, but specifically in that day, they would have been thinking about the city of Jerusalem, Zion. up on the hill there in the land of Israel. So they would have been thinking about that city, but because of the reference to Revelation 22 and the river and all of that, what we actually have is heaven imagery. So the celestial city, the city of God, and it says God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. So the literal city of Jerusalem and the holy city in heaven for us one day. I like this. Look, the noun for trouble, God is a very present help in trouble, literally means in a time of distress or cramped quarters, or the Hebrew could mean a constricted feeling. So we would say it like this. Sometimes you feel like you're caught between a rock and a hard place, right? Between a rock and a hard place. So, for instance, we talk about these masks, we talk about these other things, and you think, well, you know, I know now to go in certain places, I've got to wear it. I don't believe it works, or I believe you got to have it, or this or that. Like we were talking about last week, you just got to do what you got to do. It's just one of those moments where you just feel constricted. Well, that's where the Bible says God is with us. He's very present, in fact. He's a help right there in the midst of those things. Think about when the storm rolled up on that little lake we call the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret. Think about when the disciples were out in the middle of that storm and the wind and the waves are raging, but Jesus, the Master, is there in the stern sleeping. And they're all out of sorts. Like a lot of Christians have acted. Even pastors have acted this way. Some closing their churches through the end of the year. Are you kidding me, fellas? Get over it, man. Open up for those who are ready to gather and worship. And for those who aren't ready, stay home and do what you do there. It's okay. But quit being wimps. Now, I know some of you that sign on and watch. And I'll probably get some email. Well, that wasn't very edifying, Brother Bobby. Wasn't meant to be edifying. It was meant to be a word of rebuke. Open the doors of your church. So anyway, I've gotten a little worked up about that in these days. Wimps. Anyway, look. Here's the reality. When we understand that Jesus is near, you can get all out of sorts. But when Jesus is close at hand, he can look at any wind, any wave, and he can say what? What did he say? Peace, be still. He calmed the storm. He calmed their heart. And you might feel like, well, I'm just caught between a rock and a hard place. There is no place too hard for the Lord to handle. See, because our earthly home rages and changes all around us. Look at that. Number three, our earthly home rages and changes all around us. Always has, and until Jesus sets it right, it always will. 2 and 3. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Look at that, into the very heart of the waters is the Hebrew. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Last week, where we used to live for 11 years in North Carolina, it was literally shaking. Last week, 5.1 earthquake. People that lived some 70 miles from that seismic reading said that they had to rehang pictures on the wall, friends of ours. The earth is shaking. The earth is groaning. The earth is saying things aren't right. Things aren't as they should be. But here's the deal. It's been happening before we were here. It'll happen after we leave until Jesus comes and sets it right. The earth is groaning. Just like this virus, folks, when we heard about this back in March, I remember rushing over here because the governor had asked us at that time not to have meetings over 200. Well, we knew we couldn't make that a reality, so I rushed in here to do a recording. I remember talking to the guys and the ladies here the next day thinking we might have to do this a week or two. Then I remember us getting all excited thinking, well, Easter, we'll surely be back in the house by Easter. And then we were one of the first out of the gate in our area, but it was Mother's Day. Mother's Day. We actually got to get together again. And again, we're not taking away anything for those that aren't ready. If you're not ready, you're not ready. But if you are going anywhere, again, this is one of the safest places you can be with the people of God in the house of God. And so I think about all of these changes that have happened. And I think about all that's going on, but the reality is this. The world's always been, if we're honest, in a state of chaos and in a state of change. Have you ever gotten news that in an instant changed your world? Have you or someone you loved, have you ever gotten that news, cancer? It'll change your world. I remember when I had one on the side of my nose, a large one, in my 20s. that had to be cut on and operated, and it was crazy. 20. And it was so close to my eye, they thought, you know, this could be a problem. Praise God, it didn't turn out to be. But I remember years ago, sitting in the senior neurologist office, Baptist Hospital, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, hearing the doctor, this was 2012, hearing the doctor use the word Alzheimer's for the first time with my father, who today would have turned 75. Today. Words like that change your life in an instant. They rock your world. They change everything. And yet, as a Christian person, it should make you press into your Lord and Savior, not turn away from Him. It should make you have an opportunity to show your faith through the storm, not show what a wimp you are, to show the strength that God has given you, the faith that you have to move mountains. You know, I think about how difficult it was to lay my dad in the ground now nearly 4 years ago, and I know you've heard me speak of this, but today to be on his birthday. But I also think, because of the realities of what we're reading in this psalm, while the earth rages and changes, look at the next point. My father's in a heavenly home now that is peaceful and stable and secure. And because of my heavenly father, my earthly father is okay. And the next time I see him, listen, he will know who I am. And his mind will be restored as it once was some years ago. And so there's strength in that. And there's security in that. There's peace in that. You see, over against the watery chaos of verse 3, where the waters are roaring and the waters are troubled, stirred up. Look, verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. This is temple and tabernacle imagery here in the midst of the holy city of Jerusalem, but also it's heaven imagery because we see the same thing in the opening verses of Revelation 22. And what's all of this about, this river that's perpetually, permanently watering the city? Well, listen, if you were in a fortified city, if you had walls all around, the best thing you could have was a perpetual water supply, a water supply in particular that could not be cut off. Now, I don't know what the psalmist had in mind here. Maybe he was thinking about water flowing from the Gihon spring under the city of David to the pool of Siloam. I know this, the city of Jerusalem, the ancient city and the current city, has no actual river flowing through it. So it has to be beyond the temporal earthly tabernacle. It has to be a heavenly image where we see that river flowing from the throne of God. And he's saying, take comfort in this, believer. Take comfort in this, people of God. Yes, your temporal earthly home is raging, but there is a home that you look forward to where nothing is raging. Nothing is out of sorts. It's like the Lord Jesus said himself before they crucified him. What did he tell his followers who were frightened? They were scared. They've acted like some people I know these days. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You remember that? He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And then he told them, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, then where I go, there you can go also. He said, where I'm going, you know the way you know. And old doubting Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How would we know the way? What did Jesus say to old doubting Thomas? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus was saying, quit your worrying. I am the path to peace. I am the Prince of Peace. I am your shield and I am your sword. Yes, it's going to get tough, boys. All of you are going to leave me. All of you are going to flee from me, even you, Peter. But God is in control. And I will see you fellows again. You see, until you're in your heavenly home, there are things that are going to rage and change around you. And there are things that are going to try to knock you down in this life. The question is not, will you ever get down? The question is, will you trust the God who created you to pick you back up over and over and over? Knowing this is not my forever home. This is not where I'm made to be for now and eternity. But one day it's good to know that our omnipotent God will put an end to all wars. That's number five. Our omnipotent, all-powerful God will put an end to all wars. Verse 6, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, but God uttered his voice and the earth melted. I love that. Come, the psalmist said, look, check this out. Behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He's made these wars cease. He's broken the bow. He's cut the spear in two. He's burned the chariot. So all of those things, you think the bow will protect you? You think the spear will do it? You think your iron chariots are good enough? No. Don't put your faith in that stuff. Believe that God's in control. Battles will come and go. I know in our heart of hearts, all of us are kind of like beauty pageant contestants, right? What does every beauty pageant contestant want? World peace, right? I'm sorry if you're a beauty pageant contestant, you were offended. Stop it. Just get over it. They all want world peace. Yes, I know we want world peace. We want everybody to get along. Love, peace, bacon, grease, kumbaya, and all that. But it's not going to be that way till Jesus comes back and sets it right. And the only way to have unity now, as we'll learn in 1 Peter, is keeping the main thing, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel that changes people one heart at a time. That's the answer for the raging world. You say, well, how does the gospel deal with corona? The gospel gives us wisdom to love people well, but not to stop living and worshiping and doing all that we're called to do as Christians. So the gospel keeps us balanced. That's what it does. Don't ever forget, God is still in the process of restoring this world, even as he restores our hearts. Some of you are fearful in these days because you're just too far from the refuge. Some of you are living in fear over faith because you are really listening too much to the voices out there. You pay more attention to Dr. Fauci than the word of the living God. You're listening more to Corona News Network and all the commentators and the CDC and the World Health Organization and this health department and that. They can't get along themselves. Do you really think anybody knows what's going on? Only God in heaven understands this thing. Only God in heaven knows your body. Only God in heaven knows how you would fare if you get it. Some not knowing it, some leading, yes, to their grave. But there have always been such diseases and sickness and suffering in this world because of sin. It started with the first family, and it will be this way to the end of the age. And so I would like to stand with men like Dr. MacArthur to say, the church is essential, and we will do what God calls us to do. Yes, we'll be wise. Yes, we'll be careful. Yes, we'll love our neighbor well. But if you can open up your bars, the church house should be open. You see, God is working all things new for us, but we get all out of sorts because we look at the temporal, how life has changed. Oh, look at what we've lost. Oh, look at what we have to do. It's funny, my assistant, as you know, is named Karen, so I've been giving her a hard time about all these Karens out there. I hate it for her, but spelled differently. I love you, Karen, if you're up there. I'll tell her, don't be a Karen, But you see these people going bananas over the littlest of things. Wear this and don't wear that. Do this and don't do that. And they're just going out of their head nutso over this stuff. And the reality is nobody really knows and understands, but God is in this if we will just look and say, Lord, what are you teaching us? How are you growing us? How can the church be an influencer in this time to help and love hurting people, to put an end to all the raging? You see, how do we respond? Number one, remember, we have no one and nothing to fear. Pastor Bobby, are you telling me you do not fear the coronavirus? Listen, if I laid around fretting over what I could get, is Alzheimer's genetic or not? Read articles. Every other one will tell you something different. If I sit around and fret over, well, would you get recurring cancer? Would you have this? Would you have that? If you got this virus, what would it do? If you got that, listen, you can die a million different ways, plus some. And the reality is, I'm going to be very honest with you. No, I am not worried the least little bit because God has all my days written in his book. And when it's my time, he'll call me home. He'll not call me a minute early, nor will he call me a minute late. And friends, the truth is, that's the same for all of you. Oh, you mean you're not going to wear your mask? No, that's not what I said. I keep a mask in my pocket. I wear them all the time. Get over it. Stop it. Stop judging whether or not people have faith or not by those little things and look at the rest of their life. Look at how they're functioning. Look at how they are doing life in other ways. I totally understand why some people are sequestered, why some people are quarantined, why some people have kept themselves. I totally get that. Totally understand for those that are most vulnerable and susceptible. But I do not understand churches and groups of strong, healthy, normal people, if you will, that say, oh, we can't, we can't, we can't. Since when was that Christian thought or Christian language? You see, we have no one and nothing to fear. The Bible says, because God is our refuge and strength, because he's with us in trouble, therefore we will not fear, even when all these other things happen. So listen to the words of the great prophet Isaiah. So do not fear, God said through Isaiah, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Paul said to young Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What did the young shepherd boy David have to learn as he grew up? He had to learn that the Lord was in fact his shepherd. He would even come to the realization, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And what did he conclude with? Because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, David said, all of the raging, all of the enemies, and he had plenty of enemies, I'm not going to let them dictate my life. I'm going to live the life that you laid out for me, Lord, in truth and in wisdom, because I'll be with you forever one day. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What or who has you in fear today? Is that person, that situation, that virus, are they bigger than your God? If so, then you are not trusting the God of the Bible, because nothing can separate us from his love and his strength. All the earth, look at this, all the earth will one day exalt the Creator. Verse 10, God speaking now, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Look at that. Look how strong that language is. To the saints of Jerusalem, I've got you. To all of those who would trust me and walk with me, I've got you. To the saints of all the ages, there should be a calm and a peace in God's saving power. There is comfort and there is strength. I will be exalted. To be exalted means to be lifted up, to be raised, to be elevated. Think about that word. Like a great player on a team, right? And they do something fantastic, and then what does everybody do? They lift them up and they cheer, Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you don't, you need to get cultured. Watch it. Watch it edited. It's got bad words. So they lift them up. That's what God has said. I will be exalted on all the earth. Do you know what the Bible says? I love this. Actually, Mike was preaching on it a while back. Philippians chapter 2, that at the name of Jesus, listen, every knee will bow, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and everybody will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now the question is, are you going to bow and acknowledge his godness today, his goodness today, his strength and omnipotence and omnibenevolence? Are you going to acknowledge it today? Are you going to be forced to do it one day and then forever separated from him? See, if you do it today, if you trust in God now, the Bible says you get to be with him forever. If you don't trust in the Lord now, if you wait, then one day you'll still bow, but you'll be forced to do so. And then the Bible says you'll be forever separated from the Lord. So, what do we need to do? We need to learn to be still in order to receive peace and joy in the knowledge and the presence of God. That's what he told us, the imperative, the command, be still, know that I am God. I will be exalted. I will be exalted everywhere. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. The Most High. Let me talk to you for just a second as we draw this to a close. Be still. Rapha. Rapha in Hebrew is a beautiful word. You could translate it this way: let go, release, quit holding on to so tightly. When God commands, be still, he is saying, stop your raging. Stop thinking that you are in control. Because I promise you, friends, listen, I hear this all the time, but come November, the reality is Trump Pence or Biden Harris, listen, the reality is no matter who gets what, they're still not the ones in control. You do know that, right? You do know that. Now, I believe Christians should always vote in accordance with their faith, with biblical truth and Christian conscience. I believe you should always use your right to vote and always be engaged, always be involved. I've always believed that. I don't believe the pulpit is a place to take you one way or the other. I preach biblical truth. If you've got a head in your skull, a brain in your skull, then you'll go and vote Christian conscience, vote Christian faith. But the reality is they're still not in control. God is the only one who understands the end from the beginning. And so he says, would you please let go, be still, and know to experience God in the quiet of your heart. It's relational, not merely theological knowledge. It's the same word of a Jewish man knowing his wife intimately. The idea is to be so intertwined, so connected, you let the peace of God settle deep down in your heart, the peace that surpasses all understanding we talked about last week. In times of trouble and storm and doubt and discouragement, we know that the hand of God is at work. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to answer this between you and the Lord. Is the God that you know big enough to deal with your personal problems? Is he big enough to deal with all of the raging around us? What about ethnic struggles around the world? What about racial tensions in our own land and beyond? What about religious persecution that's happening at a rate far greater than ever in modern history? What about those earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, and floods? The list could go on and on, but is your God big enough? I say to you, the God of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament, the same God who is Father and Son and Holy Spirit, is big enough. But sometimes, like the great prophet Elijah, we want to just see the power of God. Let me see it in the great wind, O Lord. Let me see it in the flaming fire, O God. Let me see it as the earth shakes and moves around me. And yet, more often than not, as in that story, God is in the still, small voice. You're waiting for the lightning bolt, and you're missing the light of the world. What are the realities we've learned today? God is our mighty fortress. He's with us all. In times of trouble, yes, of course, particularly in those times. The earth is going to continue to rage and change around us. I hear things all the time from family members, from friends. Well, what about the chip? And are you going to take this? And the vaccine's going to be the mark of the beast. All I can tell you is the time is drawing nigh. Signs of the time are everywhere, and Jesus could break out of the eastern sky at any moment. So when the trumpet sounds, brother and sister, you better be ready, because this earth is going to rage, but our heavenly home is peaceful and stable and secure, and God's going to put an end to all of these wars between nations and between people, so we have no one and nothing to fear. One day, everybody's going to exalt our Creator. I just pray that you do it now, volitionally, that you choose. And we got to be still to receive the peace and joy and knowledge in the presence of God. Now, I've said a lot, but But if you'll turn, if you were taking notes, you see an arrow at the bottom. If you turn it over, there's one thing I haven't said. So like Bob Newhart, I want to give you two words. And I'm going to be a little bit nicer. I won't say stop it, but it means the same thing. Be still. I just want you to, I know it's the sermon title. I know you've heard it over and over and over. Be still. But I want to give you the why. I've given you a lot of points. You won't remember them. That's okay. You can remember this. Why should I just be still, Pastor? How can I just be still in all of this? I'll tell you how, and I'll tell you why. Right here. You ready? God's got this. That's it. Whatever this is, God's got it. He's got it securely in his hand, just like he has you if you're a child of God. Now, if you're not a Christian, you need to settle that matter today before you leave. As Bowman begins to play this, just to remind you of these lyrics, I'll only read the first and second verse as we close. Listen to these chords to bring this back in your mind. If you grew up in church, you'll know this song. Go ahead, sir. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, a strong tower. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Please do not forget, the enemy is not a virus. The enemy is not another person or people group. The enemy is Satan and all of his cohorts. You cannot battle him on your own. Did we in our own strength confide? Our striving would be losing. We're not the right man, capital M, on our side. The man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus. It is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name. He took it right there from the psalm. Lord of all the armies, Lord of all the host, that's his name. From age to age, the same. And he alone, as we sang earlier, must win the battle. Would you stand with me this morning, church? God's got this. And if you believe God's got this, then just be still. Father in heaven, I've never seen a time, and I guess nobody here has ever seen a time like we're in right now. But rather than thinking about how bad things are in some ways, or what we've lost, or what we can't do, may we see this cup as half full. Look at our multitude of blessings. Look at all that have to be thankful for. Look at what we can do, Lord. We have had unique opportunities in these days to reach out and help churches, ministries, camps, missionaries. We've had unique opportunities to help people above and beyond the normal, to love kids in this community, to feed and to clothe and to give supplies. And God, it just continues week after week as we hear testimonies and stories of opportunities. Because when things get dark around us, your light shines the brightest. For all of the unrest in our world, the fear that seems so pervasive, even among some of those who lead in the church, God, help us to walk by faith. Help us to believe. Lord, I do again pray for Dr. MacArthur and his church family. I pray that you would give them strength and wisdom in these days to continue showing the essential nature of the gathered body. For those who are still at home, what a tough season this has been. For those who have pre-existing conditions and other things that would create problems for them, Lord, I can't even fathom how lonely it must be for some who are so disconnected. Let them know they're loved, especially if they're a part of this church family. I pray that we can reach out to them and love on them in practical ways, even from a distance. But let them not disconnect, Lord, because we are your people. I pray that we would find calm and strength knowing that you are our God and we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. Bless us this day, O God, I pray. Bless the gifts, the givers from today through this week. However they're doing that, Lord, I just want them to know how grateful we are. And Lord, I want you to know how grateful I am for a church that believes it is our responsibility and our privilege to do the work of the ministry. And we don't need Uncle Sam for that. We have Jesus Christ. We lift this prayer in his name. Amen.